get those concert tickets and bring the kids along. You're listening to Blame It on Buffett.
Well, I sailed from Lauderdale down to Key Largo. Crossed the Gulf on a fast sloop and I sailed the Abacos. As a kid, I read Contiki and now all the pirate books too. There's just so many places on my list to see. I'm going crazy just trying to choose.
Hey everyone, welcome to Blame It on Buffett. I'm your host, Aaliyah Moore. Thanks for tuning in this week. I am excited to start to bring you a little bit more frequent episodes. I have guests actually lined up for almost every week for like the next month and a half. So hopefully that will all happen. But yeah, I'm happy to be getting back into the swing of things. And if you have, or if you're pretty new to the podcast, like feel free to go back, look through the episodes, pick out guests that you like or don't like. I know this is a Buffett inspired podcast, but there's a lot of episodes about just other musicians and different things. So not every episode is really thoroughly about Jimmy Buffett. But luckily there are new podcasts for that, that you can go and listen to. And one of those is called Under 40 Victims of Fate. And it's hosted by my guest this week, Hank Harewood, and then also his co-host, Adam Capps. And these guys are, like the title says, under 40. They're big Jimmy Buffett fans, and they talk about Jimmy Buffett. You know, I love to talk about Jimmy Buffett. That's kind of why I started the podcast. But, you know, a lot of my guests, if they're musicians or whatever the thing is, like we talk about what they got going on. Usually I ask them about Buffett if they're into that. But I know some people are really just want to hear about Jimmy Buffett talk, you know, and if you came to this podcast because it has the word Buffett in the title, I appreciate you, but you're not obligated to stick around if you got here and are like, wow, they, you know, are not just talking about Jimmy Buffett the whole time. But I can tell you that this episode, we will be talking about Jimmy Buffett the whole time because Hank is a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. And, you know, having started this podcast recently, and they were very nice to have me as a guest on their podcast. So it was my pleasure to return the favor and have Hank on just to talk about his life and how he became a fan of Jimmy Buffett. And we actually get into a conversation a little bit towards the end that I like was really great in terms of like Jimmy Buffett fandoms and you know, how people identify when they're Jimmy Buffett fans and how. Well, just listen to the interview. I promise you won't regret it. It was really an interesting and fun chat to have for me and sort of made me realize some stuff that I hadn't really thought about before. So that's always a plus. If you are listening to this and you have been a listener for a while and you're wondering how you can support the podcast, there is a support button. Or if you're a new listener and you're like, hey, this is the most genius podcast I've ever heard, which I'm sure no one is saying that. But if you are, thanks, Mom. Just kidding. She's not listening. I love my parents. Like, I don't even listen to my podcast. Like, they even like Jimmy Buffett, but it's fine. Anyway, I love to hear from you. And also, if you want to support the podcast to help me do new things, get new equipment, I may or may not buy rum. Just kidding. I haven't done that with listener money, but but I could. If you want to designate your donation to go towards rum, like I'm not going to say no. There is a donate button on Anchor. If you go to the Anchor homepage, if you're listening to this on another platform, you can go to find the Anchor link through any of my social medias. There's a donate button there, and it's basically like a Patreon sort of monthly supporting style thing. And you can support as little as 99 cents a month. So, but if you don't want to do that, cool, no pressure. I'm not worried about it. I have a job, so I'm not out on the street. I just appreciate you being here and listening, especially to my fine guest this week, Hank, and I just chat some Jimmy Buffett. As much as I love all my other guests, and I really do, it's always a treat for me to just get a guest on that, you know, we just talk Buffett the whole time, because that's really, like I said, why I started the podcast. It's at the core of what I love and why I'm doing this podcast, and even like pretty much everything else on this podcast is inspired in some way by Jimmy Buffett's music or his lifestyle, all of that. So yeah, I'm excited to talk some Buffett. And I hope that you'll go check out Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast after you listen to our interview here. You get to hear Hank and Adam talk a lot more, and I'll have Adam on the podcast, on my podcast at some point too, so we can really get into the nitty gritty with him. There's always, when you have a podcast, you know, you're the usually the one interviewing or having a conversation, but you're still sort of like guiding the conversation, right? Because people want to hear about the guest, like they want to hear the guest's life story and what they do. So it's always a fun role reversal to be a guest when you are normally the podcast host. So we'll get Adam on here too, and so I can grill him about his love for Jimmy Buffett. In a good way, not in a I'm judging you way, because we don't judge here. So yeah, have a great time listening to this interview, and please go check out their podcast as well. All right. Welcome back, everyone. This week, my guest on the podcast is Hank Harrowood. And Hank, thanks so much for being here.
Oh, absolutely. Thanks for having me. You know, it's always a joy to get to spend some time chatting with you about a couple of our favorite topics. So thanks again for having me.
Yeah, no problem. I mean, it was the least I could do considering you had me on your podcast. And for people who are listening to this that don't know or didn't see me promote that, Hank also has a Jimmy Buffett podcast along with his friend Adam, and it's called Under 40 Victims of Fate. So you'll definitely want to go check out that as well after you are done listening to this, or just stop this and go listen to that and come back. I'm not the boss of you. You do what you want. But it's a great podcast. And it's really more Jimmy Buffett focused. Like mine is kind of all over the place, and I appreciate that people are willing to go along with me on that. But you guys really just are into the Buffett. Like it's pretty much just Buffett. So how did you guys sort of meet up? Like how did you meet, and how did you decide to start doing the podcast?
Yeah, good question. And you're right. You know, Under 40 Victims of Fate is very Buffett centered, Buffett focused for sure. Occasionally you'll get a story maybe about my kid or my dog or Adam playing golf or being an English teacher, but we are pretty Buffett centric. We actually met, Adam and I, one of the good things, there are some drawbacks, I suppose, but one of the great things about social media is the ability to, you know, meet and connect with folks you may not otherwise meet, connect with. And so I think Adam had a post asking a couple of questions in a Jimmy Buffett Facebook group several years ago, and I answered it, and he had a couple more questions about something. And I think I ended up messaging him, and we just started chatting. Turns out he was from North Carolina, so was I. And we just started chatting, became buds, met up at a concert before I got to meet that way, and have really stayed in touch and grown to be good buds for sure. So again, something that I'm not sure would have been able to happen in 1990, but that's the way we met. And we talked about it for a while. You know, I've always really, really loved Jimmy Buffett, and take a little bit of heat, I suppose, from some people in my life about that. If they only see him as kind of the party guy, but you know, I've been able to grow up with his music and really be a fan for a long time. And so, Adam and I suppose bonded over that, and we were just chatting like, hey, we should do something fun. And like a lot of people, I think we found some extra time on our hands with COVID. And so we just started talking about doing a podcast, and, you know, the lawyer in me was like, man, there's a million things we have to do first. And finally Adam was like, hey, let's just do it. And I was like, all right, let's just do it. So we jumped in feet first and started Under 40 Victims of Fate, which is really focused on Jimmy Buffett, but also his younger fans, right? So we have guests on like yourself and other folks that are under 40, but are also find themselves as big, big Jimmy Buffett fans. So it's been a lot of fun.
Yeah, that's awesome. And if what if somebody was like, I really want to be on your podcast, but they weren't under 40? Would that still be allowed, or is it only under 40 people?
Yeah, so far we've only had under 40 people, but we have a couple of guests lined up in the future, folks that are connected to Jimmy and the band in some way that are over 40. So, you know, exceptions could always be made, I suppose. And I'll tell you, we've got a couple of really great, really loyal listeners that actually more than a couple at this point that are over 40 victims of fate that joke with me all the time about how they find themselves for the first time locked out of something because they're too old. And they've not asked to be on, but I suppose it would be fun to have one of them on at some point. So we have not had anybody yet who's over 40, but I would not close the door. Jimmy himself is 74, and I suppose he can make it on the podcast if he wanted.
Right, like you'll allow it if it's yeah, Jimmy. Like, okay, sure. For you, Jimmy, I guess.
Yeah.
Even though over 40, it'll be okay. Well, that's very generous of you to extend that age limit. And I mean, you know, parrot heads or people, just Jimmy Buffett fans, I think we're all pretty young at heart. So even if people are over 40 in real life, I'm sure in their hearts, you know, everybody's growing older, but not up. So I think we're all in the same boat in that sense.
Excellent point. You know, I hadn't thought of that, but if Adam and I ever get to the point where we have creative differences about a guest being on the show or not, I'll remind him, hey, even though they're over 40, a lot of us still have schoolboy and schoolgirl hearts.
That's right. That's right. And I love that you guys, you know, what you said about you were just talking about it and you were like, well, we have to do all these things. And Adam was like, no, we should just go for it. Because I think I won't get into it too much here because I've had other episodes where I talked a lot about sort of the podcasting side of things and just like starting a project. But I'm also the way of, well, I have to have the best quality equipment and I have to have all of this and before I can even start doing a thing. And I think a lot of people are like that, but that's the beauty of podcasting is you don't really need to do that. I mean, like, yes, if you want to be like a professional podcast that like you're living off of, you're like making money somehow, but really it's just the better thing to do is to not get hung up on those things and to just go for it because it's like any creative project, you know, you're just like doing it to have fun. And so, you know, like you and Adam are going to hang out and talk about Buffett anyway. So you might as well just record it and throw it out there and people are going to want to listen.
You're right. And it's opened some cool doors already, right? We had Brendan Mayer on last week who shared some really cool stories. And like I said, we've got a couple other really neat guests lined up for the future. We also had someone on there who does their own Jimmy Buffett podcast, Blame It On Buffett podcast. We thought that was the coolest thing when we had you on, and here we are, right, doing yours now, which is fun. But yeah, you know, I'm like you, right? I was like, man, we need a social media plan. You know, we got to, of course, I'm always worried, like the lawyer and me, like someone's going to sue us. We need an LLC. You know, we can't just go doing these things. And Adam was like, hey, we'll jump on Zoom at 8 o'clock tonight. And I was like, yeah, fair enough. And we hit go and pressed record. And you're right. It's been so much fun. I think, like you mentioned, I would take a different tact probably if, you know, I was trying to feed my family. I actually have a couple of friends that do that, right? They're literally podcasting is their profession. More power to them. They probably are taking a different angle at some of this stuff. I'm not paying the bills on our deal. And so it makes it really easy to not stress it too much, you know?
Yeah. And also, you know, it's not like you can't level up, so to speak, to improve, you know, how you're doing things. But I think people get really hung up on, I can't remember. I was watching someone else's show. I think it was a live stream on Facebook and they, you know, had some guests on and one of the guests was talking about how like he was wanting to start a podcast and he hadn't done it yet, but he had $3,000 worth of equipment that he had bought and he but he hadn't started the podcast. And I was just like, I mean, if you have $3,000 to spend on equipment, like, go for it. I'm not saying you shouldn't just like get awesome equipment if you can, but like, I think that's the thing is you've now bought $3,000 worth of equipment, but you haven't even started recording, right? It's better to just go for it with crappy equipment, and you can always buy better equipment later if you're enjoying doing it, or you know, if you do want to become more professional as you're doing it. So
yeah, I hope he ultimately liked podcasting when he finally started, you know.
I do too. I don't know what happened. I can't even remember who that person was. I just remembered them saying that one thing, and I was like, that is bold. Like, oh, yeah. Like, I guess if you have the money, then like, that's rad. But I, you know, start with like, I have like a headset that I record on right now, and I still want to upgrade to a better mic, but, you know, it's just in time, like when it's right. So, really quickly, you said the thing about having me on your podcast, and you guys are so nice. You're like, yeah, like you're like professional podcast. And then at the beginning, I remember you being like, okay, so if you're going to tell stories, like make sure you don't mention anyone famous because we could this. And I'm like, wow, this is already like far more professional than my podcast is. So I think you guys are killing it.
I got to give the credit to a friend of mine who is much more into podcasting, and she's an author, former attorney as well, and has a really great podcast out. Boy, I feel so terrible. I forget the name, but I don't know that she's released it yet. It's a several part series, but it's one of those podcasts that'll be viral and very cool. So when I think of the name, I'll actually send it to you because it is pretty neat.
Okay, cool.
But it's about some of her stuff as like a former attorney and working in the judicial system. But she's an actual, like, by God, in real life podcast. And so she was like, hey, here's the big thing I'll tell you about. If you saw like some pro athlete or politician or somebody, you know, having a whole lot more fun than they probably should have at a Jimmy Buffett concert, you cannot call that person out by name. You know, like you could, that's one thing you get in trouble for. So that stuck with me, which thankfully I remember, but you know, it's worked out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess that would be cool if I had seen some famous person doing something, but I have not. So
I will say, this is a fun story. I will say I did one time meet a famous former professional athlete at a Jimmy Buffett concert pre-party, at a show that my wife and I traveled to. And I actually, even being a big sports fan, had no clue who this person was. And we super casually chatted for like 5-10 minutes. And, I had no idea who he was until someone told me later. So
that would probably be me. I'd be like, oh, hey, person that I don't know. And then someone would be like, oh yeah, that's like, I don't really know sports super well. So especially with like famous athletes, I probably, unless it's like one of the really obvious ones, you know, that everybody knows, I would certainly probably not recognize them. And then someone would have to tell me afterwards. So I can relate to that. But I don't think it's happened. I don't know. Maybe I've talked to a famous person and I had no idea this whole time.
I bet the famous person appreciated that. You know, I have to think people that are super famous, when someone casually chats with them as if they're not famous, I would think it would be a breath of fresh air, right? Like maybe pretty refreshing to just have someone who's enjoying you as a human being and not a celebrity for a little while.
Yeah, no, 100%. And pretty much all the famous people I've met were at Comic-Con, which is not really in the wild, so to speak, right? Like they're all there for a reason. And I mean, sometimes you run into them in like restaurants and stuff and not actually at the convention, but it's not really the same as just sort of like being a random place. Like you expect to see famous people at Comic-Con.
Right, right.
So it's not really the same as just like running into someone just in your regular life or like at a Jimmy Buffett concert or whatever. So that's a pretty cool thing to have happen. One time though, we were like walking downtown San Diego, which is where Comic-Con is. And we were like, you do see celebrities out on the streets. Sorry, this has nothing to do with Jimmy Buffett. I'm just going off a tangent right now. And Joe Manganiello was just like recording like an interview or something, but he was just like standing on the street and we just like walked past him. Like we didn't say anything because he was like talking to someone. But you know, we were like 2 feet away, and after, like, as we got past him a few feet, my husband was like, "Oh my God, that was Joe Manganiello."
Nice.
Like you see all these celebrities at Comic-Con, but for some reason he was like most excited that we like randomly walked past Joe Manganiello on the street. So, well, let's talk about Jimmy Buffett concerts and you being a Jimmy Buffett fan a little bit. How far back, like when did you start getting into Jimmy Buffett?
Oh man, good question. I do not have memories in my life that don't involve Jimmy Buffett. And so, gosh, I must have been, I don't know, how old are you when you start remembering stuff? Like 5, yeah. Maybe 6, yeah. Something
probably
like that.
About that.
And so I remember having pizza night on like Friday nights with my parents and my brother, and we'd be fired up because it was pizza night. And my dad had this old school like vinyl layout, but like actual like deck and vinyl and big speakers that he ran cable to, that, you know, it was awesome. Looking back on it, my parents were a lot more cool on Friday nights than I probably gave them credit for, right? Like they would have a lot of beers and let us eat pizza and watch movies until we fell asleep. But we would always dance around, and we listened to a lot of old music, like a lot of Paul Simon, and you know, my dad was a big Bob Marley guy, but I think James definitely ruled the day. So we listened to a lot of Jimmy Buffett, and a couple albums in particular, I think. I remember Last Mango in Paris, very distinct album cover, and I remember always hunting for that one, and Son of a Sailor, too. So I remember those. I mean, I think I remember the Changes in Latitudes, Changes in Attitudes album cover, and I remember hunting for that one at times. But we would literally look through this big old record cabinet that my dad had with hundreds of old records, and we would, very typical little kid stuff, right? I guess Jimmy Buffett was like our equivalent to the modern day Frozen that kids, you know,
right,
kids are jamming the Frozen soundtrack like 8,000 times in a row. Like every Friday we were like, we would like to listen to Jimmy Buffett for 3 hours in a row, please. You know? And so we had all this music to pick from, but we always went to his records, my brother and I, when we were little, and just loved it. Right. And so I don't know that it ever took a time off. You know, I remember, the first ever like car I got in high school that was mine. I liked rap a lot in high school, like rap, and country, odd combo, but that's what I was working with, as well as Jimmy Buffett. But I remember distinctly, Jimmy Buffett was the first CD I ever listened to in my first car, like that was mine in high school, you know. And I remember going to Jimmy Buffett concerts when I was in college. Sometimes it was just me and my brother because no one else wanted to go. And so Jimmy's always really been a big, big part of my life. And I don't know that I've ever taken, like I said, time off. And it was definitely my parents' music, right? Like Jimmy Buffett was 100% my parents' music, and they loved him, and that's what got us into it. But we never went through that phase where like, oh man, your music sucks, mom and dad. You know, we never went through that. We always were always rocking with Jimmy Buffett music. And I was born and raised in Greenville, North Carolina, where East Carolina football is a big, big thing. And my parents would always go to a tailgate for all the East Carolina football games. And I remember one lady, they would like host a tailgate. So I must have been like 7 or 8. And Will and I mean, we're the only kids. My brother and I were the only kids. So we would take over the record player and at the, or the radio at the tailgate. And we were always turning on the same Jimmy Buffett CD. It was Songs You Know By Heart, the yellow CD at that point. But we were always turning it on. And I remember a woman saying, gosh, I think those boys learned how to talk from listening to Jimmy Buffett music. So definitely always been hanging out with Jimmy Buffett, have always loved his music and really appreciated him as an artist.
That's really interesting because like that's pretty much exactly parallel to my Jimmy Buffett experience. Like pretty much dead on. Like you and I have the same Jimmy Buffett life experience of like when we, how we learned about him. And I also never really stopped liking him, even though it was like my parents' music. They also, like, it was mostly CDs. We had, my parents had records and an old record player, but they didn't really use it very much. I actually, most of my Buffett vinyl that I have now was, they gave me their old Buffett records. It was mostly CDs for us. But yeah, it was like after my dad would get home from work and like my parents would have a beer and, you know, put on music in the living room. And it was, you know, Jimmy Buffett or Paul Simon or Bob Marley, like basically everything you just mentioned. There's a lot of Billy Joel and I would like dance around the living room. And I always wanted to listen to Jimmy Buffett the most of those, although I love all those other musicians still as well. So that's just really interesting that because you and I are a pretty similar age, I think, and that our like being raised with Jimmy Buffett experience is almost identical.
Yeah. Yeah. And I'm 35. So I wish that I would have been at some of his concerts. You mentioned concerts. Gosh, I just realized we might only have 5 years left of doing the podcast. What a nightmare. Cause I'm 35, but
no, you guys will have to, I know Adam's much younger. He could keep doing it.
Adam's going to have to carry the under 40 victim of fate torch. We'll have to find somebody else and like get him ready for the role.
He'll just kick you out and then get a different co-host.
Yeah, you know the rules, man. We'll see you. But yeah, you know, I know you got to go to a concert when you were younger. I never did. Unfortunately, my first concert, I was 18 or 19. It was in Raleigh. And I couldn't go until I could drive myself there and buy myself a ticket and that kind of thing. So that's really unfortunate, but I've made up for lost time. I have a really understanding spouse who happens to love to travel as much as I do. So we've traveled all over the place because we didn't have our first kid till this year. And so we traveled all over the place. A lot of our domestic travel, more than, I don't know, my wife probably would have wished for, but she was very tolerant. A lot of our domestic travel centered around going places to Jimmy Buffett concerts. So we, you know, I remember her birthday a couple of different times. I took her to a Jimmy Buffett concert and I'm like, hey, you know, for your birthday, I got you a 5-day trip to Nashville. And she was all excited about that. And I was like, by the way, night 3 Jimmy Buffett concert. Can't wait. You know, and,
surprise.
Yeah. And I think by like the third time I did that, I think we went to maybe West Palm or Tampa. We did a Florida swing 1 year that was right around her birthday. We did Nashville. We've done somewhere else. I think like the third time I pulled that trick, I was like, hey, good news. Like I got you a trip to wherever we were going, you know, like Columbia. We're going to go spend the weekend in Columbia, South Carolina, or wherever it was for your birthday. And she'd be like, is Jimmy Buffett playing? And I was like, yeah, for sure.
Yep. Yeah. That's at least she is amenable. I mean, my husband finally agreed that he would go with me to a concert and then like COVID happened and there were none. That didn't really work out. but it's nice that she has, you know, gotten on board and I may have gone to a concert earlier in life than you, but I think you at this point have been to many more concerts than I have. How many Jimmy Buffett concerts have you been to total?
Yeah, I forget because I haven't been one in over a year. It's either 34 or 35. I'd have to check back. But they do add up quick. You know, they add up really quick when you turn around and you're like, man, this is lucky. You know, those nights where he's so close back to back, like he's doing West Palm on Thursday and Tampa on Saturday, it's like, oh, great luck. You know, good news, baby. We get to go to both of them, you know? Yeah. So they've really added up quick. It was brutal last year to have COVID cancel the year because, we had so many. He had a big Carolina swing. He was playing Charleston, Columbia, Charlotte, and Raleigh. We're going to all those. I think he had a date in Virginia. We're going to go to that one. And then we're going to go to Cincinnati. And now I have my fingers crossed for Red Rocks this year that by September, we're actually having concerts. Because Red Rocks was always, I lost my brother 3 years ago, but Red Rocks, Jimmy Buffett at Red Rocks was always on our bucket list. And so I'm going to try to go carry that one out. But we have to be strategic about it because I think Jimmy is at Red Rocks this year, scheduled to be like September 7th and 8th or 8th and 9th, one or the other. And my kid's first birthday is September 11th. So I have to be very, very clever and very careful with how we schedule that. But hopefully we can make it to Red Rocks this year if we're back to having concerts.
I mean, the upside is when kids are one, they don't know. You could just take that kid to the concert for his birthday. He's not going to know the difference. Sure. You'll be like, look, we did this for you for your birthday. I mean, my first Jimmy Buffett concert was for my birthday. So, you know, he could, you know, carry on the tradition in that sense.
That's a great idea. Or we could just Zoom. We could have a Zoom birthday party for him. We'd be like, yeah, you know, there was this thing, COVID, not our fault. Right. So Zoom. And we can be in Colorado and Zoom in with the grandparents who have him.
Yeah. Yeah, he won't know the difference. I'm like one of those people that when people have, you know, like do big birthday things for their kids, I'm like, okay, this is just for you because the kid's not going to know, you know, when they're that young. And there's nothing wrong with having a party. I mean, like any excuse to have a party is great in my book, but like just admit that like it's because like you want to have a party, not because like your kid is going to be sad if they don't get a birthday party when they're 1 year old, you know?
Yeah, it's just like Christmas presents. You know, our kid Mayer was probably like 3 months or so at Christmas. And I was like, well, why would we get him anything? Like, he has no idea. He can't even open them, you know? I was wrong.
I mean,
fun fact, we sure did get him some presents. So not to worry out there. He got presents.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, I get my cats Christmas presents and they're cats. So I guess I'm not one to judge.
I love it.
And his name is Mayer. And you want to talk about how that came about and what that means?
Yeah, for sure. So Mayer is his name, like you mentioned, Mayer Wilson Harewood. His middle name is after my brother. So we were trying to think of names, obviously. We didn't find out the gender. We didn't know if Mayer was going to be a boy or a girl. We didn't find out. And so we wanted to have a boy and a girl name picked out. And we knew the middle name. And so that left, hey, like, you know, just kind of figure the first name out. There's a very obvious, if you're a fan of Jimmy Buffett, there's a very obvious name for young ladies. Delaney, right? And I told Tara, even if he's a boy, let's just name him Delaney and call him Lane. You know, that would still work. But we didn't go that route. And so Adam actually helped me think of this. I could not think of a really good Jimmy Buffett inspired name, which, you know, some people would say, well, why did you have to have a Jimmy Buffett inspired name? Great point. If we had had another name that we were really, really high on, right, then maybe we would have just gone with that. But we couldn't think of anything. And so we went back, you know, back to our inspiration, so to speak, with James there. But we still couldn't think of anything really, really good. And Adam actually suggested Mayer, which is great. So I love Peter and Jim Mayer, two wonderful coral reefers. And now their son, Brendan Mayer, was on Under 40 Big, Peter.
Your podcast?
Yeah, Peter Mayer's son. Brendan Mayer was on Under 40 Victims of Fate podcast, which was awesome. So small world. I got to show him a couple of videos and pictures of Mayer. I actually messaged Peter Mayer to tell him. And so our son's name was inspired by two of our favorite coral reefers. And we like the name a lot. We've gotten actually a lot of compliments on it. My wife at first made me swear to not tell people that we named him after two guys in Jimmy Buffett's band. But now she likes to tell the story as much as I do, you know?
Yeah. I mean, it's an interesting, like, it's kind of a unique name, right? Like, you don't see that often, which is great. And not that there's anything against like more common names, but as someone that has a less common name, I'm like kind of biased and like, I think it's cool to have a name that not a lot of other people have. And so that's cool. And like to have a story behind it. I mean, he doesn't have to tell people that story, right? But if he ends up loving Jimmy Buffett or he ends up, you know, being into that, like that's a cool, story to be able to tell about your name. I always say, like, especially with middle names, like just go to town and name your kid, you know, like make their middle name Batman or something, because they don't have to tell anyone that their middle name is Batman. But like, if they think that's rad, then that's a really cool thing to be able to tell people.
That's like our dog who's, we tell everyone when they ask if we have kids, we tell them that we have one human son and a dog son as well. But our dog for a long time, we didn't think we were going to have kids, weren't really interested in it. But we did rescue a dog about 5 years ago. And despite the fact that we have a 5-month-old in our home, our dog still very much runs the house. And we just think he hung the moon. I mean, he's the most wonderful guy. I'm staring at him as I say this, almost tearing up. I love him so much. But his name is Captain Jack Sparrow. So, you know, we gave our dog like a cool name like that, you know, and we call him Jack. But his name is Captain Jack Sparrow. And the funnest part about that is like when we're at the vet and like the lady that to call us back comes out there and she's like, Captain Jack Sparrow. And I'm like, yep, here he is.
Yeah. That's the fun thing about pets is like, you can really go for it with names, you know? Right. We had actually a dog named, I don't know if you have ever watched the show Firefly, but we had a dog named Captain Malcolm Reynolds.
Nice.
And like, we just called him Mal, 'cause that was what, you know, the short version is, but also it's fun to just give him a really epic name that if you want to, you know, you can call him that. I kind of have like name, like we're not really like kids people either. So like, we're probably won't have to worry about this, but like we have a hard time even like agreeing on a name when we get like a cat or a dog or whatever. Like, I feel like it'd be paralyzing to have to name a human being, you know, and that be like forever. So you did a great job, I think.
Thank you. You know, it's a lot of responsibility and maybe one that we should have taken more seriously, right? Like, some people would probably argue like, gosh, you just named him after two guys in a band that you like, you know? It's like, well, yeah, we did. I suppose some may argue we should have taken it more seriously, but you know what? I would say get your own kid, you know?
Yeah, exactly. You can name your own kid whatever you want and stop judging my kid's name.
Right. But we do get a lot of compliments, which is fun. That's really nice. We tell people his name's Mayor and, you know, we get a lot of compliments on that name. People love it. He's affectionately known by lots of people now as Mayor Man. And so he's already picked up a tiny little nickname, which is cool. But being named Mayor, of course, we've thought about whether or not he'll eventually get into politics and whether he will be
a mayor,
forced to be Mayor at some point, which could be really cool, but he'll probably get picked up for.
Yeah, but, you know, hopefully by the time he's old enough to do that, he would be, you know, not worried about people calling him names because of his name. You know, he's got to have self-confidence, which I think he will. And it's funny that you said the thing about Delaney, how you were maybe just wanting to go for it and name the kid Delaney, even if it wasn't a girl, because when I had Delaney on the podcast, we talked about her name a little bit. 'Cause I was kind of like, what's it like to have people named after you, you know?
Right.
And she said like, one of the things she really liked about the name is that it works for both. Like, it works for everybody, like any gender. It's not really a gender specific, like it is to Jimmy Buffett fans because Delaney is a girl, but really that name is not, you know, it's not so stereotypically, you know, associated with like the female gender or something, you know, it's not like Jessica or something like right. that. So I think like you could have done it and just named him Delaney. And I don't think anybody would have, you know, batted an eye at that.
Yeah, great point. In fact, we had that, like I said, we had that discussion. And I think we almost got there, but I as much as I was on the no kid train, Mayor, I has absolutely got me wrapped around his very, very tiny pinky finger. Like, I adore him a great deal. As much as I adore him, I don't know that a second child is in the cards for us. And so for a while, we did decide to hold Delaney back in case whatever happened, and we did have a second child, and we did want to name, if it was a little girl, we wanted to name him Delaney. But I'm with you. I think Delaney fits either gender. And I've actually had I teach in a graduate school. I'm an adjunct professor in a graduate school. And I had a young lady in one of my classes, and I'm just casually calling the roll. And I get to her name, and her name was Delaney. And I stopped and I said, hey, where did you get your name Delaney from? And she kind of looked like she'd gotten that question several times before. And the first words out of her mouth were, well, my parents were huge Jimmy Buffett fans. And I was like, say no more. I totally understand, you know? So that was actually pretty cool.
It is a funny thing that name, I mean, like I've never before Delaney Buffett, like I had, and you know, obviously like Delaney talks to statues. I had never really heard that as a name. I don't think I've met anybody in my regular life that has that as a name. So really, in addition to like being kind of an unusual name, it's if you know, if you like Jimmy Buffett, you are going to associate that name with Jimmy Buffett. So probably most of the people named Delaney at this point, their parents were into Jimmy Buffett.
Right. And she got into the whole deal. Like she was like, yeah, I'm a big Jimmy Buffett fan too. I've been to like a ton of concerts. And I was like, how many concerts have you been to? You know? And she was like, I don't know, like 7 or 8. And I immediately thought of Wolf of Wall Street. And I was like, the rookie numbers, you got to pump the numbers up, you know? I get that. I've been to like 30 or 31.
I mean, I have only been to like 8 or 10. I know. It's totally amateur hour over here. So you mentioned Red Rocks, and that's a really lovely reason that's on your, I mean, you know, it's nice that you want to carry that out. Do you have any other, like for me, Paris is the big bucket list show. Do you have any other places that you haven't seen, Jimmy, that you would really like to?
Yeah, for sure. The big obvious one that I've never been to and probably is and should be on everyone's list is Cincinnati. Mm-hmm. Had plans to be at Cincinnati last year before COVID hit. And so that is one that the next time he plays Cincinnati, the good thing is, right, here's the good and bad thing about COVID in regards to Jimmy Buffett. Obviously, there's been innumerable bad things, right? And Tara and I constantly talk about how lucky we are that we've been safe and we've kept our jobs and, you know, we've not been sick and haven't really lost anybody immediately close to us due to COVID, though certainly some people kind of, I guess, on the periphery of our lives have gotten really sick. And unfortunately, a couple have lost their lives, too. So, you know, there's so many people with so much to be worried about. So I will give that caveat that the good and bad only in regards to Jimmy Buffett, specifically in COVID. The bad part is, right, as his concerts have been taken away, we haven't been able to go in so long. The good part is that, you know, it's kind of helped me realize how important it is that I go to as many as I can, because we don't, you know, we probably don't get James and the Coral Reefers forever out on the road. And so I've been very, very insistent that I go to as many shows as I can when the tour starts back up, whenever that is, right? And so Cincinnati is a huge one. So I got the okay from the wife that next concert Jimmy plays anywhere, I get to go. I get to go to his next one at Cincinnati, which is awesome. So I've always looked forward to that one. And then I think one place where Tara and I have always said we would go if he played a concert is Key West. So if he ever plays, you know, anywhere scheduled in Key West that we can get a ticket to, then not like the fan appreciation show that was such a tiny show you couldn't get a ticket. But if he ever plays anywhere down there, we're able to get a ticket, we're going to go to that. And then a day that, you know, nobody would really like to talk about and makes me sad to think about, you know, if he announces like a farewell tour and does his last show anywhere, I have thankfully gotten the go-ahead from Tara that her and I will go no matter where it is, no matter how much the ticket costs, his very last show we plan to be at too. So,
yeah, I hadn't even thought of that, but that's definitely – that's going to be a hard show to get into if he like pre-announces that it's just going to be his last show, you know, that's going to be, everyone's going to be trying to go to that for sure. Part of the reason that I haven't been to as many shows is a lot of my life growing up was in Oregon and he like doesn't really play up there as much. Like sometimes he plays Portland, but not even every year. And then when I moved down here, it's into Tucson. Like I've been to every show he's played in Phoenix, but he doesn't play Phoenix every year either. And I just like haven't really been in a place like financially or with like time off from work to be able to just, you know, go to other shows in other places. But I would really like, I mean, not that I don't take vacations, but a lot of times it's like my husband and I are going somewhere and like, whatever vacation like we're doing is not like going to be going to a Jimmy Buffett, like going somewhere specifically to go to a Jimmy Buffett concert because, you know, he doesn't really care that much. So, but I feel like I need to try harder because like you said, you know, he's not going to be playing for that. I mean, hopefully he plays for as many more years as possible, but you know, I wouldn't fault him if he was like, listen, this is a lot of work and I don't want to do a full tour every year, you know?
Right. Well, I mean, think about it. You got two chances, right? Like, when is your husband's birthday?
It's in August.
August. Okay. I'm an August 18th baby myself. August. Great news is, James usually plays some shows. And then, whenever the anniversary is, two great opportunities. Another thing I'll tell you, I became really good
at. Yeah, but he doesn't want to do that.
That's okay. That's all right. You don't give him tickets to the concert. You get him a fun trip, you know? Like if
I don't think any of the places, I wouldn't be like, oh, well, he's playing in, you know, like I got you this present of a trip to Cincinnati. He'd be like, no, I don't care about that. Like, why?
You got to just be like, hey, there's a really cool brewery there, or I found this restaurant. Right. I've been dying to eat at this restaurant in Mansfield, Massachusetts, so we're going to go together.
Actually, that's a really good point. There are a lot of breweries in the Northeast that he like hasn't been to because we just have never really traveled up there much. So if I could line up a Jimmy Buffett concert with a time that we could go that he would want to go and like do a regular trip to like go to visit breweries and stuff, then maybe I'd be able to pull that off.
Yeah, it's very similar to what I mastered early on in me and my wife's relationship, the principle of the dual gift, which sounds a little selfish, and it is. But, you know, I would always get a gift for her that she was really excited about, but also kind of benefited me. So like our first Valentine's Day, I got her a cruise, right? She was over the moon. She was excited. Well, guess what? I also get to go on a cruise. You know? For Christmas, right? Like I got, we'll do like a couples massage. She enjoys spending the time with one another. Well, guess what? I get a massage out of the deal, you know? So sometimes you just got to be creative, you know?
Yeah. These are all good, very good tips. I appreciate you helping me out. I just need to plan ahead for these things. But hopefully once Jimmy starts playing live shows again, definitely try and go to more because it's interesting that I am such a big fan and just feel like, because right, there's people that have been to like over 100 shows and I'm just like, well, maybe I'm not that big of a fan.
Right. I mean, yeah, I'll tell you what. A lot of those people that have been to so many shows are, I have noticed, they are not under 40 Victims of Fate. And so sometimes I wonder, like Jiminy Crickets, if I were 60 right now and had always been this big of a fan, I bet I could have been to 100 shows by now, you know?
Oh, yeah. Oh, easily.
Because a lot of those people, as Adam and I lament on our podcast, they had a big time head start and Jimmy would play like 2 and 3 days in a row, same spot, you know? So you could be like, all right, cool. We're going to Red Rocks for 3 days. And we're going to see 3 concerts. You know, that would be a ton of fun. He doesn't do that so much anymore.
Yeah. And it's funny that like you said the thing about how, you know, your parents were big fans, but like you had never been to a concert because they, you know, I assume that's because like they didn't go to a concert because they would have taken you, or did they go to concerts, but they just left you at home?
Oh, no. They went for sure.
Okay. Never mind.
They definitely went. And, you know, a lot of people think, you know, oh boy, the crowd at a Jimmy Buffett concert, it can get a little crazy and it definitely is a big party. You think about it, right? It's however many people are at the show, whether the venue holds 15,000 or 26,000 or whatever it is that many people that are, I mean, 98 to 99% of us are having a ball, you know? So it's, imagine a big party with 20,000 people where everybody's having a really great time. So there are some people having some drinks and there's some other things that occur extracurricular wise, you know?
Subtle.
Yeah. You know, maybe you wouldn't want your child around. And so for a long time, people thought, oh, you know, great parents, you know, they didn't want you around people smoking weed and drinking and that kind of thing. And maybe a Jimmy Buffett concert just isn't the place for an 11-year-old. And I thought, yeah, you would think that would be the reason, but in fact, it's not. because I learned a while ago, my parents would go to the Jimmy Buffett concert to do the same thing that everybody else did at the Jimmy Buffett concert. And so you can't do that if you're toting around an eight-year-old, you know? So my parents would never take me to the concert because they didn't feel like taking care of me, you know? So we would get a babysitter and we'd be all pissed off. And my parents would go to the Jimmy Buffett concert and have a ball. And I would camp out on my living room floor with my brother and be mad that I wasn't there.
Oh, such horrible parents.
Brutal.
My parents, the only reason I went to, well, for actually my parents aren't big, like they're definitely the like have one beer after work kind of parents. They're not, they never have been really like big partiers or that kind of thing. But also like the only reason they took me to that concert when I was in third grade or whenever it was because I asked them to for my birthday. So I don't know if they would have gone or taken me to a concert if I hadn't like initiated it. But I know they went to concerts before me because they actually had their, and I talked about this on your podcast a little bit, but I haven't told this story yet on mine, I don't think. Cause I just found out a few weeks ago that their first date was actually at a Jimmy Buffett concert.
Right. That's right.
At the U of O in Oregon in 1978, I believe. So
1978, Chris and Jerry, right?
Yeah, Chris and Jerry. Wow, you have a good memory. I wouldn't have remembered that if they weren't my parents. Yeah, so like they clearly were like going earlier in their life, but yeah, so maybe you just needed to take more initiative and be like, listen, parents, I want to go to this concert with you. And it's for my birthday.
Yeah, you're exactly right. I should have done that. Hindsight being what it is, you know? That's a good point.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah, hindsight's always 20/20. Too late now. Well, I guess, you know, if your kid seems to be in a Jimmy Buffett, you know, and Jimmy Buffett's still doing concerts in a few years when your kid's old enough to understand what's going on, like, you know, at least take them to one concert.
Oh yeah. That's going to be awesome. I can't wait. You know, if I want to make sure it's not number one, way past his bedtime. And number two, he needs to be super, super potty trained. Like, you know, so I think he's got to be at least maybe what, like 4 or 5 years old before I can take him to one. But if James is still touring in 5 years, man, we're going. We will be there and I would definitely take him, you know?
Yeah, totally. That's great. Because, you know, you don't want to deprive him of the concert experience.
And I mean, would probably be a good little bit of inspiration for Peter and Jim Mayer. You know, they would show out a little extra for Mayer being there for them.
That's right. Just let them know ahead of time. They'll give them a shout out.
Yeah, we're on the way, you know?
The thing you said about people partying and like why your parents might not want to take you. I feel like I like to tailgate and have a few drinks ahead of time before I go, but maybe this is because I haven't been to as many. And maybe like if you go to a ton of Jimmy Buffett concerts, you don't mind, being drunk or whatever as much because you've seen him so many times. But I feel like the one I always usually have a few drinks, but I try not to really get like too inebriated because I want to actually like enjoy and remember the concert. And the time that I had a little more to drink, not like I wasn't like super drunk, but it was a little bit more of a blur because I had a little more to drink ahead of time. I like kind of regretted it afterwards. Honestly, I was like, man, I don't even like remember which specific song, not because I was blackout drunk or anything, but like, you know how things are, you're just like not paying attention to stuff as much or whatever. And I still had a good time, but the fact that like I wasn't really focused on the show the whole time, like kind of bummed me out. So I feel like, and if people want to just get super drunk and have a good time that way, like I'm not saying you shouldn't do that, but for me, I just, it's like I really want to enjoy the show, right? Like he's not going to be doing it maybe for that much longer. It's also not super cheap. So I don't really just like want to be drunk and like totally miss this experience that I paid, you know, $130 or whatever it is now for.
And, you know, my good thing is I tend to not drink to excess like that. You know, like you definitely see people. So we were at a show in Tampa one year and I took one of my best friends to a show down there in Tampa, and it was, he lives in Tampa. and it was his first Jimmy Buffett show. We have actually two sets of friends that we've been to Jimmy Buffett shows with in Tampa. A married couple and then a single guy that I'm very good friends with. And this was the single guy. So we take him to his first show. I'm not like, again, I'm like you, right? I'll go and I'll tailgate and I'll have a few beers in the parking lot. But here's the big thing. There's a couple of songs I don't mind missing, like songs that I know, and I know I'm going to hear every single concert. So like, it's 5 o'clock somewhere that I race to the bathroom during that song, you know, because I go to the bathroom during that one, because if the next song is like Havana Daydreaming and I really want to hear it, you know, I don't want to be in the bathroom and, you know, waiting in a 5 minute line to go pee in Havana Daydreaming, or, you know, Far Side of the World or something you don't hear a lot comes on and like I miss it because I'm standing in line to pee. So I don't drink too much, so I don't have to go pee very much, which seems strange, but I think it's a good play.
No, that's super smart.
Yeah, you know, and then I think, like I said, it's not really my style to drink excessively. It's not tons of fun, right? So I don't do that. But I definitely, you know, like you, right? I'll hang out in the tailgate a lot for 4 or 5 or 6 hours. My drink of choice lately has become at concerts, White Claws. So, you know, my wife and I will get a 12-pack of White Claws, and we're there for tailgating for a long time, and you know, we'll split the 12-pack of White Claws, and invariably there'll be 2 or 3 or 4 people who ask what we're drinking, and we'll hand them a White Claw, so we don't drink too many of them. But I'm with you. I don't want to go miss, like, some of these songs are really special, so I don't want to go miss them because I was, you know, too drunk to remember or anything like that. So I'm definitely with you there. Though I will say there are a lot of people, like you mentioned, who it is a very big party for a very long time for them.
Yeah. I mean, I guess there's two, I mean, not to sort of generalize too much, but like, if you're really going to break it down, there's kind of two groups of people that go to Jimmy Buffett concerts. It's people that really love Jimmy Buffett and really care about Jimmy Buffett and like know all the songs, you know, and know, not that like knowing the old stuff is a mark of like being a good Jimmy Buffett fan, but you know more than sort of just the newer songs or the hits. And then there's people that are really just there because it's a party. And like, yes, they like Jimmy Buffett, but also it's mostly because like they can go to see him play and it's like a giant party. So right. I guess if you fall in, and there's nothing wrong with that either. Like if that's your thing, then I say go for it. Like I'm not gonna, you know, gatekeep Jimmy Buffett from people that just want to go drink and you know, at the concert or whatever. If they want to spend $130 to get super drunk and not remember anything, like that's their call. But there's, if it kind of breaks down into those two groups, then it's like, if you're in that group, then I can see you wouldn't care, right? Like if sure. you're just there to like drink and party and have a good time and you're not really so worried about hearing, yeah, like what specific songs Jimmy's playing or whatever, then like you won't really mind. But like for someone like me or you, like you said, I don't want to risk missing, because yes, like he's going to play Margaritaville, he's going to play Cheeseburger in Paradise, like all of that, but you never know when he's going to like pull out a deeper cut. I, even though I haven't been to that many concerts, I remember the first time, which was, you know, a decent ways into the amount of concerts I have been to, the first time that he played Wino and I Know, which is one of my favorite songs, and he doesn't play it as much. And I was so excited. And if I had been just really drunk and not paying attention, like I would have missed out on really enjoying that moment. So I guess it really depends on like who you are and how you do those concerts. But yeah, I think for people like us, it's not worth, I mean, I can get drunk anytime if I want to, you know, like I don't need to be at a Jimmy Buffett concert. I would rather be mostly sober, you know, or you can, you know, wait and then get drunk after the concert if getting yeah. drunk is the thing that you, you yeah. know, want to throw in there. But yeah, I guess it also helps that none of the shows I've ever been to really have that tailgate aspect. Like, we would go ahead of time, or at least the ones I've been to since I've been of legal age to drink, I would go ahead of time and like, we would kind of like, we'd take a bus, a party, like a, you know, big bus from Tucson to Phoenix. And then we would park the bus and maybe we would go to some bars or, you know, the lot that we parked the bus at. But there's not really like a tailgate in the aspect that you get at like big like sports arenas where there's like a huge parking lot, right? So I've never actually experienced that. So maybe if you're really tailgating for 5 hours, it might be, you might be more prone to overindulging before the show even starts. But for me, I now actively try to not do that because like the one time that I drank a little more than I like had planned, I was just like, I don't really like that. I wish I hadn't done that, you know?
Yeah. Well, can you imagine, like, I'm thinking through it now, and it's funny you mentioned the wine on I know because it was, there's some, it was some city right outside, Bristow, Virginia, maybe 2017 or so, 2016 or 17, I want to say, but he played the wine on I know, which is probably one of my top 10 Jimmy Buffett songs most of the time.
Me too.
And I was legit fired up. I mean, like, I knew right away. From something he said in the opening, I'd heard him introduce the song that way on like live recordings. And so I knew right away he was going to play the wine on I know. And I was so excited. And you're right. It would have dampened that moment for me if, you know, or I couldn't imagine again, if I was in the bathroom and, you know, I had 82 beers, so I had to go pee again, or if I didn't feel good and had to go sit down, you know, or whatever, like I would much rather hear the music, hear the story, see the show. Like, can you imagine if you were like, you know, oh, I drank too much and didn't feel good, so I had to go eat or I had to go sit down, and you missed like Distantly in Love or something, that like a song I've wanted to hear in concert, you know, and never have my whole life. I don't know. I would be like, well, I guess those fourth, fifth, and sixth beers weren't really worth it, you know?
Oh, 100%. Yeah. Especially because you can, like I said, like there's plenty of other chances as a parrot head to drink or, you know, have that kind of party aspect like outside of the concert. Like, at least for me, like I'm in the Parrot Head Club here and we have, you know, parties regularly. We do house concerts. We do, you know, there's all sorts of events that are a little more like casual, low key. Yeah. So like, I don't feel like when I go to a concert, I like need to get wasted, you know? Yeah. Even though it says that you should be wasted away in Margaritaville, I don't want to be.
You know, I was going to say what I was thinking about, I don't want to be. I was thinking about, you know, when you mentioned that, the two types of fans, right? I think you're right. Like, here's my thing. I don't mind if somebody tells me their favorite Jimmy Buffett song is Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise. More power to you. And I've explained this to some people. That's fantastic. If those are your favorite songs, outstanding. But if somebody tells me I'm an enormous Jimmy Buffett fan, I'm a huge Jimmy Buffett fan, and in their top five songs, they list Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise, I immediately become a little bit skeptical. You know, like if somebody's like, I'm a huge fan, like, oh, you know, do you have any favorite songs? If in the first two or three, Margaritaville or Cheeseburger in Paradise comes out, I know those folks are out there, right? And I appreciate Margaritaville and Cheeseburger in Paradise for allowing so many more people to hear Jimmy and his music. But I know there are those people out there who are like, listen, like I know every word to the Banana Wind album. I'm a huge Jimmy Buffett fan. Like, you know, I bought High Cumberland Jubilee in 76, you know, like I'm a big fan. But Margaritaville is my favorite song. Like I'm sure some of those people are out there. That's awesome. But I would think they're the vast minority. So when people are like, I'm the biggest Jimmy Buffett fan of all time and my favorite song is Margaritaville, I'm like, well, you can't say those two things together, you know?
Right, right.
That's the only time I get a tiny bit judgy.
Yeah. And I think what they mean is probably like, I really like Jimmy Buffett and I like to listen to Margaritaville.
Right.
It's like, how do you quantify it being a huge fan? Right. To them, they're like, oh, well, I listen to Margaritaville like every day or whatever, you know? And to them, that means like they're a huge fan. But like, I would say, especially those of us who would consider ourselves big fans in that we know like all of the Jimmy Buffett catalog, right? We would quantify it as like, okay, well, you know, if you've never listened to anything earlier than, you know, Beach House on the Moon, then like maybe you need to back up and you know, go back and listen to some of the other stuff. And it's not like trying to be like judgmental or something. Cause like, honestly, I've been in a lot of communities in my life of like liking things that are super gatekeepy, and it's the worst, especially being on like the, like, I don't want to get too like serious here, but like as a woman, there's a lot of communities where like, especially in like the nerd sort of pop culture world, where it's like, oh, you say you like X like thing that people consider nerdy and you're a girl, like you prove it to me by like telling me all these like trivia facts. And right, you're just like, okay, well, come
what
on.
Year did
like
that's such not and such character first appear.
Right. So like being on the receiving end of that in other situations in my life, and actually sometimes with the Parrothead community, like not from anyone I know or in my club, but like I've certainly had like instances of like random strangers at like Meeting of the Minds just being like, well, you don't know, like you're like 12, like you don't know anything about Jimmy Buffett. And I'm just like, all right, like old white guy, like back up off me.
Yeah, right, right, right.
So like I try really hard not to be on the like doling out end of that kind of attitude.
Yep.
But it's definitely like, if you say you're a huge fan of Jimmy Buffett and you know Margaritaville is in your top 10 favorite songs, I'm not gonna like be like, well, you're not a big fan of Jimmy Buffett, but I might be like, oh, well, have you listened to this album? Like maybe you should go listen to some of the older stuff because like you maybe will really like it, but you just have, you know, maybe they haven't like listened to a lot of the older catalog, but that doesn't mean they wouldn't be into it. It just means that, you know, they haven't followed that trail of, I mean, he has so many albums, right? Right. So I totally understand. And I think you're right that like, it's when people say they're a huge fan and then it's like, oh, Margaritaville is my favorite song. I'm kind of like, all right, well, you're not a huge fan, but maybe like the approach we should be taking is, oh, well, have you heard this? So, like, this is one of my favorite songs. Have you heard that song? Like, go check that one out. Cause like, I really like encouraging those people to listen to more than just Margaritaville, because maybe then we could turn them into actual, really dedicated fans, right? And sort of grow our side of the fandom versus the side that's just like, I just want to like party.
And I'm so glad you mentioned that, because I typically do that. Like I typically, like that's such a perfect point and great way to approach it. Like I usually get to tell people exactly like you mentioned. I usually won't hit them with a whole album, but like here's some songs I think you should go listen to. Cause you know, maybe you'd really enjoy them, you know, like, and I usually talk, hey, do you like fast music or slow music or well-written songs or good hooks or what do you like? You know, cause that's a good thing. Like you mentioned, he's got so many albums. He can really cover whatever you need. If people are like, I just love, you know, steel drums. It's like, great. Like hit Knees of My Heart and, you know, listen to his version of, Great Heart or Scarlet Begonias or, you know, like, or, oh, I like great lyrics. You're like, cool, man. Like, check out Beyond the End or Remittance Man or, you know, there's just, he can cover so much ground, I think, in his catalog that I'm so with you. It's a great opportunity to tell folks, hey, check maybe these songs out if you like them. And even friends, I'm like, hey, here's five songs. Check them out. I do have one friend who, is just a wonderful guy and a great friend, listens to all of my podcasts, and it has inspired him to listen to all of Jimmy Buffett's albums. He's got a long drive time for work, and so it's inspired him to listen to all of Jimmy Buffett's albums, like from the jump, like legit starting at the top. And so I think he's through like Barometer Soup at this point, which is a pretty good run. I mean,
his
Barometer Soup is like
decent amount there,
like 1994 or five, I guess. So like, he's been racing through them the last couple of months, and it's cool, man. He'll hit me with a text and be like, "Hey, you know, love this song or whatever." Like, Fruitcakes is a really good album, but I only think there's three really elite songs. Like he's actually like really speaking the language, you know. He's like, he texted me today and he was like, I don't know, man. I think like after Last Mango in Paris, like I just, I think the albums really died down a little bit and weren't quite as good, you know? And I'm like, wow, like that is obviously a clear, you know, point of demarcation for you. I think probably he could have extended that to Flora Days, but his decision, not mine, you know? But it, you know, there are more and more people that get into the music, and that's why I tell people I really like Jimmy Buffett. It's not because I want to, or even do, or whatever, go drink 28 beers at a concert of his. But it's because, you know, listen, he was a best-selling author for fiction and nonfiction, you know, and I always tell people if he only had one really good song, he wouldn't have been selling out shows worldwide for 40 years either, you know?
Yeah. It's interesting the like old, like, because most of us who like Jimmy Buffett and have liked it for a long time, liked him for a long time. And, but it's, there are people that really like Jimmy Buffett, but are relatively new to, you know, the bandwagon, so to speak. And I'm actually pretty excited. Somebody that listens to the podcast messaged me and asked if I was still doing, I did early at some point in the last year, honestly, time kind of has lost all meaning. I sort of did a series where I asked people to send me their Jimmy Buffett song stories, like if they had a specific song that like they identified with as like an event in their life. And then I would like tell the story on the podcast. And he messaged me and was like, hey, are you still doing that song stories thing? Because I have one that I would like to share. And I was like, yeah, lay it on me. And it wasn't just like a, oh, I, you know, dance, like had this song at my wedding or something. It was, he just has gotten into Jimmy Buffett in the last like year. And it was through all of these like life thing, different separate things in his life, like coming together in a way that just almost seemed like fate, like related to Jimmy Buffett. And he didn't use the word fate, so don't quote me on that. But right. Just sort of like I like to, like Jimmy Buffett says, like you sort of follow the song lines in your life, right? And these like things just just seem like they're leading you a place. And I was like, this is really cool. And honestly, like I don't think I can do it justice by like trying to express it on your behalf. Do you want to come on the podcast? So I'm pretty excited because I'm really interested to talk to somebody and have someone on the podcast that's like a really new Jimmy Buffett fan, but also has gotten really into Jimmy Buffett really quickly. Because I think most of the people that pretty much everyone that I've interviewed and like am likely to interview are all sort of like more hardcore long-term fans, because those are the people you sort of meet more. But it's exciting to have new people finding Jimmy Buffett in a way that's like, not just like, oh, I like Margaritaville, but like getting really into Jimmy Buffett, you know, at some point later in their life and just like really getting into it. So I'm pretty excited about that.
Yeah, that is so, so neat, number one. I hope that person is listening to your podcast and knows how cool that I think personally that is. But that's also one of the reasons that Adam and I started the podcast. You know, like Under 40 Victims of Fate is basically, Jimmy knows it. He acknowledges it on stage, right? Like there are a lot of people who, you know, their kids and even their kids' kids are coming to shows now, right? And we kicked around a couple names, or I did at least. One was Parrothead 2.0, like kind of that second generation of Parrotheads. Our parents were all big fans and we were raised on the music or discovered it later in life or, you know, got to the party a little bit late, as it were. But I think one of the things that's really neat is he's an incredible author and storyteller. Like, and even those closest to Jimmy Buffett talk about his ability to tell stories and be a storyteller. Nadira Shakur has an album, Nod to the Storyteller, you know, and she's an incredible musician in her own right. And, you know, has that album kind of inspired by him, which talks about him being a storyteller. But I think obviously I do not know James. I wish I did, but I don't. But I have a feeling, you know, I've heard some interviews and just listening to him talk and reading stuff, I have a feeling that he, as much as anything, you know, wants to be kind of amongst that pantheon of great American literary giants, right? Like he's an avid reader, unbelievable writer and storyteller. And I think he wants to be remembered as a literature person, but his modes vary, if that makes sense. Like he writes musicals and he does write short stories and novels. One of his main modes of storytelling obviously has been song and music. But I think, you know, being able to carry on great stories and great American culture and that kind of thing through people like us, right, that are hopefully still on the front end of our life, the old front nine of life for most of us. Hopefully we're still carrying that on, right? And there's people like Mayer and other kids out there, you know, we'll pass it on to our kids and they'll appreciate kind of the way that his songs can speak to them and the way he tells his stories and that kind of thing.
Yeah, and it's really, that's a really good point because I, as you were saying that, I was just thinking about like, why does it bother me when people, you know, either A, say they're a Jimmy Buffett fan and then it's like they only, they like Margaritaville, or B, say they're not a Jimmy Buffett fan because like Margaritaville, right? And both of those stem from the same place, which is not that I'm like, oh, well, you know, some way defensive as a fan, like you're not a good enough fan or whatever, but it's really comes from a place of Jimmy Buffett is, you like really hit the nail on the head, like not just with his music, like he's just a super intelligent guy, really like well, like articulate, well written, and he's a really great writer. He's written, you know, a good number of books at this point, all which are amazing. And it kind of breaks my heart to think that people hear Margaritaville and that's all they experience of Jimmy Buffett, because he has so much to offer. And I feel like, you know, Margaritaville, the way it sort of is originally, it was kind of a different thing than what it's turned into now. And it's great. It's fun. But like, I think people hear that, you know, and they just hear like this Southern guy singing about drinking margaritas and they think like, oh, well, there's not really a lot of substance there. Right. But Jimmy is just, he's just so smart and, you know, he like has so much to say and he's such a good storyteller. And so I think, I had actually never really thought about it in this, this way. So I appreciate you, you know, saying everything that you said that made me realize this is like the reason that I get upset or like annoyed when people are just like, oh, Margaritaville, either because that's the song they like and that's why they think they like Jimmy Buffett, or because they don't like Jimmy Buffett because of that, is yeah, because like he has so much more to offer and people are like missing it.
Yeah, no, you, that's the hard part, right? Is they do, man, that's so well said, right? So think about it this way. I think there's like maybe five, and I couldn't even name them. I just think I've read that stat somewhere. But I do know this to be fact. Jimmy Buffett is one of the very, very few people who has reached number one on the New York Times bestseller fiction and nonfiction books. Mm. You know, like think about like what sort of talent it takes to do that. You know, he's had three number one bestsellers, you know, and so he's definitely a man of substance and if you listen to his albums, right, unbelievably cultured. In fact, Brendan Mayer told a great story about Peter Mayer. His dad helped write Barometer Soup, a whole lot of the Barometer Soup album. And in order to help write that album, Jimmy sent Peter and a couple other folks that Brendan mentions on our podcast down to Key West. And he gave them a big list of books to read, like a lot of Mark Twain and other great books, you know, and he said, read all these books and then start writing the album. You know, his stuff is so, I believe his grandma was a librarian. And so he's got a lot of literature in his background, but it's clear, right? It's evident that he is well studied and smart. One of my favorite lines in any of his songs. So he said, it's a song where he's quietly making noise. He's talking about being in the underground in Paris. And he says, so an African prancer, the hemisphere dancer, spied the ghost of Brazan, smiled at the secret we shared and hid it like contraband. You know, like the poet that he references there is like a relatively obscure Parisian poet with an avid fan base for being relatively obscure, right? And so, you know, to draw that parallel is there's songwriting that is definitely of substance, you know?
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, like, I feel like I could wax on this topic like all day, but I don't want to like take up all your time just ranting about how great Jimmy Buffett is. I mean, I guess that's the point of this podcast, but
I'm glad you let me do it. Thank you.
Well, I appreciate it. Like you said, like I said, it's brought up some stuff for me that I like subconscious, like was maybe there subconsciously, but I didn't even like think about how to articulate that. So I thank you for that. But you mentioned Quietly Making Noise, which is like such a sleeper song. Like I love that song so much, but like sometimes I kind of forget about it unless I'm like listening to that album, right? But then whenever I hear that song, I'm just like, oh, this song is the part where it like builds, like it gets quiet and then like builds and then like comes in really hot is like so fun to sing in the car. I love it. That just made me think about, I don't want to take up too much of your time, but I was just wondering before we go, like what, obviously Songs You Don't Know by Heart came out and there's a lot of songs on there that a lot of us were really excited to get to hear him play, right? Like we haven't heard him play. Was there anything on there, not on there? Like if they were going to do a Songs You Don't Know by Heart second set, like what are some songs that you really wished he would have played for that, but he, you know, still hasn't?
Oh, two big ones. And I can't believe that one of them didn't make it on there. It has kind of a legendary following status. West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown.
I know Dan Smith agrees with you on that one.
Yeah, I can't believe he didn't like that one didn't make it on there. Boy, I'll say this though: in theory, to put one more on there, if you would have had to take one off, I don't know which one you'd take off. So, to be fair, I don't know that it's like I can't believe he didn't put it on there. It's just maybe one that personally I would have loved to see on there. So, West Nashville Grand Ballroom Gown, and then Distantly in Love is another one. It would be a great one to play acoustically. Really, really great tune off my favorite album. In fact, One Particular Harbor. And so those are probably the two biggest ones that if they do another version of that album, which, hey, if COVID goes much longer, maybe they will, right? Like, why not? And so those would probably be the two big ones.
Yeah, that's Distantly in Love is a really good song. It's hard, right? Because there's so many. You're like, oh, that's a great song, and that's a great song.
I know.
It's just hard. Play every song again. That would be right.
Right. How about an acoustic version of every song you ever did? Thank you.
Yeah, that wouldn't be, you know, imagine on vinyl. It would be so many records. It would be like, okay, side A has, you know, five songs. Side B, right. Like, okay, here's your set of 50 records.
Right.
Well, thanks so much for coming. I really appreciated talking to you. I feel like we could talk a lot more. So maybe we'll have to have you back again, or maybe like I'll have Adam on and then like at some point you guys can just like both come on together and we can chat. It's nice having like the fellow podcasters, because I feel like if I ever like have been too lazy to like get a guest set up and it's like last minute, I can just be like, hey, Dan, do you want to come on the podcast? Oh, yeah. So now I feel like I have you guys too to be my backup, well, or like if a guest cancels or something, so we can chat.
I'll do it anytime. I'm so glad you had me. I'm really honored. I appreciate it. I love every time we get an opportunity to talk. Hopefully I didn't bore anyone to death, but man, I really, really appreciate the opportunity to be on here. So thank you so much.
Yeah, it was great. And actually, before we go, I forgot, I want to make sure we talk about every week or whatever, when I do the podcast, I'm doing in the spirit of, you know, Jimmy Buffett is really about giving back as well. And I know that's something that he cares about. And obviously Party with a Purpose is sort of the saying of the Parrot Heads. So the podcast is going to be making a donation to the charity of the guest choice. So I wanted to find out what your charity was and if you want to talk about it a little bit.
Yeah, thanks so much for the opportunity to do that. So outside of being big Jimmy Buffett fans, my wife and I actually also work, not as much during COVID, but we volunteer and work with a dog rescue. And so we foster dogs and, you know, hang out with them at events so they can meet potential adopters. And sometimes I do home visits to vet potential adopters and those kind of things. And so my wife and I love dogs. We obviously have our dog who I mentioned earlier that we just think hung the moon, but we volunteer with animal rescue with homeless dogs. So catering to cats and dogs would be a great one, I think. That they're a Charlotte-based animal rescue, and they really specialize in taking the dogs that are down and out. I mean, the pregnant dog that needs $4,000 worth of dental work and medical work before they can be adopted, those type cases. They think every dog deserves a great home, and I think they're right. So I would say Catering to Cats and Dogs Animal Rescue. I would encourage everybody, if you hear this, get involved in some type of volunteer activity, whether it's, working with local underserved populations or, animal rescue, if you want, whatever your thing. I think there's great opportunities to give back. So Catering to Cats and Dogs is good. The good news about animal rescue is, 30, 40 years ago, tens of millions of companion animals were killed in shelters every year. And that number has obviously, in our country, that number has decreased exponentially, as even more so the last couple of years. We're down, we're making a really great we're doing a great job, I guess, battling homeless pets and that issue. So it's been cool to see, cool to work with and help, have a small part in helping some dogs. So Catering to Cats and Dogs would be a great one.
Great. That's awesome. I love all the organizations that people choose, but the ones that help animals are the closest to my heart. And all of my pets have been rescued. That's definitely a cause that is important to me. So I'm excited to make a donation to it on behalf of the podcast. And I'll make sure to post their website and everything in the show notes. So if people want to go check it out, they can find that information there. And then when I do like social media and stuff, I'll post if they have social media accounts, I'll post that. So if you're listening to this and you don't want to have to look it up for yourself, just check the show notes and there should be something there to help you go check it out. If it's something that you are also interested in, please consider either spreading the word or if you can, making a donation to that. I know that I will be. So thank you so much, Hank, for being on. I really appreciate you taking the time. It's been a pleasure again to chat with you. A little reverse role this time since I am not the interviewee. I get to ask you. I remember when I was on your podcast, I was like, had to bite back questions. Like the whole time I was just like, okay, well, how did you guys meet? Like, what was this in your life? I was like, okay, wait, that's not like it's not my podcast. Like I'm supposed to be the one talking about me. So I am glad that you came on so I could ask you all the questions that I wanted to ask.
Oh yeah. Yeah. Thanks again for having us and thanks for being on ours. You were great.
Yeah, no problem. Anytime. I'm sure we'll do much more crossover in the future.
You bet.
All right. Talk to you soon. All right. So that was Hank Harewood once again from Under 40 Victims of Fate. Go over there. They're already killing it. They've only been around for, a month now or something, but they already are having great conversations. They're having great guests. Their most recent episode, like you heard Hank say, had Brendan Mayer on it. I think they're really some up and coming young gentlemen. Hank and I are the same age, so he's 35, I'm 35, but Adam is an up and coming younger gentleman. I'm really glad those guys are on the scene. There's just all these new podcasts sprouting up. I think I mentioned it before, but obviously Dan Smith and Classic Buffett have been around for a while, but now we've got these guys with Under 40 Victims of Fate. We have Podcasting in Paradise podcast, which is really sort of a album by album breakdown of Jimmy Buffett's music. So if that's your thing, you should go check that out. They go over every song. Also, I just want to give a shout out. If people have not listened to the Parrothead podcast, that's the OG one. Those guys have hundreds of episodes and have been doing this way before I started my podcast. So go listen to their podcast too. There's something out there for everyone and all of our podcasts are a little bit different. So hopefully, now that there's a lot of variety in the Jimmy Buffett podcasting world, you can find the podcast that's right for you. And if it is this one, or if this is one of the ones, then I so appreciate it. And I thank you so much for being here. It's really nice to get messages from you, to hear like what you are thinking when you listen, or you know, what you think about the episodes, or if you have a story that, you know, something we talk about like triggers a story that like you want to share. I love to hear that stuff. So please, like, if you, I honestly, like I mentioned the support button thing because I feel kind of like I should be promoting that, because, you know, when you do a creative thing, you do it for fun and because you're passionate about it, but like to make it better and really grow it, it helps to have a little bit of, you know, financial, sort of backing there. And especially I'm doing these donations as well every episode to the charities, which is really important to me, and I'm happy to do that with my own money. But yeah, so I sort of feel like maybe I should be trying to promote the support button. So that's why I do that. But honestly, like the thing I really appreciate and care about the most is just like, if you're listening to this and if you're enjoying it, and if it brings, you know, brightness to your day in some way, or if you're like, oh, that guest was really awesome, and now I'm going to go check out their thing. Right. Like, I think that's why, in addition to just wanting to talk about Jimmy Buffett all the time, which I do, obviously, part of the reason why I sort of branch out and have all these other guests on is because people are doing so many cool things, and I just want to share people's creative endeavors and talk about like what they're up to in their lives and their stories, and if they're a musician, like what their music is. And so if listening to this is, you know, is a positive thing in your life, or it like helps you discover a new person or a new podcast or a new musician that you didn't know about, that's really what I'm in it for. So hopefully that is the case. And if you do want to message me or tell me about anything that you want to tell me about, I'm happy to hear about it. You can email me at blameitonbuffettpodcast@gmail.com or message me on any social medias. I have at blamebuffettpod on Twitter and Instagram. And then on Facebook, if you just search for Blame It on Buffett podcast, it should come up, and you can follow along there. I think I am going to be trying to, hopefully if it works out, trying to do maybe a Facebook live stream tomorrow night for, or if you're listening to this tonight, it's very complicated, Monday night, because I'm recording this a little bit later. So today on Sunday, if you're listening to this on Monday, Monday night, I'm going to try and do a Facebook live stream for National Margarita Day. Have some margaritas. I'm hoping to maybe get Dan Smith on from Classic Buffett. We can just chat about Jimmy. And then if people, you know, want to watch, you can like ask questions in the comments or interact with us. So I've never done it before, so please be gentle if it doesn't work. But I'm going to hopefully maybe give that a chance. Probably I'm on mountain time right now. So probably, I don't really know for sure, but somewhere around like six to seven ish, maybe my time. So the best way to get notified about that is just follow me on Facebook, like the page on Facebook, and you can get notifications when the page goes live. And if that does work out and it seems fun, then we might try and do more of those in the future. But yeah, we'll give it a try. It's an experiment, so we'll see how it goes. But just go and like the Facebook page, follow the Facebook page, and anytime we are doing any sort of live things like that, you should be able to see it on there. So I think that is all for this episode. Thanks for coming along on this journey with me. And as always, until next time, if anything's going to happen, it's going to happen out there. Blame it on Buffett. He was my hero.